You are listening to Ancient Voices, brought to you by Seven Stones Radio.
Are you ready for a scary story? Then turn down the lights, bundle up. It's time for a walk in the dark with Ancient Voices. This story is a retelling of the American folktale Tailybones. Good for this time of year as the woods get darker and the air gets colder. I've heard it told and read it a few different ways, but the stories all say that there was an old man who lived alone up on the mountains. Usually it's set in old Appalachia in early winter, back around the 1800s, maybe around the famous Blue Ridge Mountains, where people have seen all kinds of strange things over the years. Ghostly black dogs with glowing eyes and things like that. Well, anyway, this old man had a mean streak that covered his whole body, and the only place he found peace was out in the wilderness. Can't blame him for that, I usually feel the same way. But every time he went down the mountain into town, which was only maybe once every few weeks, well, let's just say no one was sad to see him head back up the ridge. Everybody left him alone, which was how he liked it. He hated people, and he kept three giant old hunting dogs who he kept hungry to make them meaner. Gave them odd names, too. Ino, Uno, and Calico. It was coming on winter, and the old man had been avoiding going into town as long as he could, but his stores had been getting lower and lower, and hunting that year had been bad. Finally, with his belly rumbling one night, all he could find was a nasty, gristly little hunk of meat and a few half-rotten potatoes in his storehouse. Well, he cooked up what little he could choke down, and he threw the bits he couldn't to I Know, You Know, and Calico. Well, it was about that time that the wind started to pick up, when it started to feel like snow was coming. The old man's hunger pangs got worse. He knew bad weather was coming and it would make hunting hard. And his disposition got meaner, knowing he'd have to hoof it to town at last. At first, brooding over all these thoughts, all he heard was the crackle of the coals in the fire and the skittering of branches on the roof of his shack. And then the skittering turned into rhythmic scratching. It started soft. Then it got louder and more insistent. Scratch, scratch, scritchy scratch. You dog, shut that racket up! But I Know, You Know, and Calico just looked up at him sleepily from where they'd been dozing by the fireplace. Scratching wasn't coming from them anyway. It was coming from outside the shack. Scratch, scratch. From the roof, something was scratching on the roof. Scritchy, scritchy, scratch. It sounded like an animal. It was too hard and too deliberate to be the trees. So the old man grabbed his shotgun and stumped off outside, looking up to see what manner of beast he was a-scratching at his roof. It was deeply dark outside, though. Clouds had covered up the moon, and his fire was low, so no light was cast from the inside. And the little lantern he had, he couldn't throw any light up on the roof with it. Well, the dogs, they tramped out beside him, and once they got outside, they all stiffened up, and they pointed their noses hard at the roof, their eyes wide. Scratch, scratch. He leaned in, and he strained his eyes, and he thought maybe he could see a deeper shadow up on the roof. Big thing, maybe hairy. He jumped when a long, hairy object unfurled down the side of his shack, just a bit to the side of the front door. It twitched and it thumped at the side of his shack. The dogs crouched way down like they didn't know whether to bark or to run, and their eyes they held open wide and suspicious. The thing was a tail, fully as big around as the old man's arm, long as he was tall and covered in rough black hair. It was twitching like a cat's tail, but it was far too long and thick to be the tail of any cat or cougar the man had ever seen. The old man edged his way around the door to his shack, careful not to touch the twitching, thumping tail, hoping the thing on the roof was too busy a scratching to notice what was up. He felt in the dimness, and he grabbed the handle of his biggest hatchet leaning up against the wall by the fire. Well, he took aim, and he swung that hatchet as hard and as fast as he could, and he lopped off a huge hunk of that tail. The thing on the roof shrieked and wailed and snatched away the stump of its tail. The old man heard the thing crashing off through the trees to the north, wailing and keening all the way. I Know You Know and Calico piped up at last and they started barking their heads off. But they didn't give chase. The old man looked at the tail in his hand. It was even thicker than he'd thought, and the fur was indeed very thick and rough. It was still twitching, but the twitching was slowing down, and the blood was welling up at the stump end. It didn't smell too nice, but it was made up of thick, juicy-looking meat. Well, the old man, he took that tail inside, and he skinned that tail, and he spitted that tail, and he set it over the coals. When it started to sizzle and turn brown, he pulled off pieces and he ate them. He threw a few scraps to the dogs along with the bones, and they chewed with relish. The thing didn't taste half bad, though that musky, loamy smell of the fur was still all over the shack. Well, at last the old man goes to bed in a slightly better mood, and the dogs curled up again by the coals in the fireplace. He was just about to drop off when he heard above the howling of the wind a waily, reedy, kind of ghostly voice calling from a long way off to the north.
Tailybones, Tailybones, where is my Tailybones?
He sat up in bed, not sure if he'd really heard it, and the dogs kind of pricked up their ears. Now a little closer and a little louder.
Tailybones, Tailybones, where is my Tailybones?
The old man jumped up and opened the door. I Know You Know, Calico, get them ugly thing. The dogs, their hunger spurred by the little meat they'd got that night, hopped up and they went barking into the night, and the voice didn't come back. And eventually he heard his dogs coming. I Know and You Know came back, but no Calico. Figuring Calico had just stopped to dig or chew at something out in the woods, the old man went back to bed. Just as he was about to drop off again, now closer and louder and getting angrier.
Tailybones, Tailybones, where is my Tailybones?
He jumped up again and he opened up the door. I Know, You Know, get that ugly thing. The dog sped off again and the voice stopped. I Know came back this time, but no You Know, and still no Calico. Now the old man was feeling a bit spooked. That voice out in the middle of no place where no voice should have been, and the dogs disappearing into the night, and the cold wind, and that weird, hairy thing on the roof before. He sat down on his bed, but now the voice came again, very close, in fact, right outside the shack, moving around like it was circling.
Tailybones, Tailybones, where is my Tailybones?
He grabbed his shotgun and he bust open the door and he yelled, I Know, you get that ugly thing. His last dog sped off into the dark and never came back. He raised his gun, but he couldn't see anything beyond the shadow of his door. He swallowed against a big lump of fear in his throat and he shut the door tight. And sure enough, as he sat alone by the dying light of the coals, the gun ready in his hand, starting to shake.
Tailybones, Tailybones, where is my Tailybones?
It was mocking now, It knew he was all alone, and it was right outside, clawing at the door, then at the windows.
Tailybones, Tailybones, where is my Tailybones?
There was a smash as one of his windows broke, and a loud thump as something big hit the floor behind him. He sat as still as he could, not daring to turn around and face whatever it was. And that musky, loamy stink started in again, got so strong his eyes started to water.
Tailybones, Tailybones, where is my Tailybones? Right in his ear.
Finally, he couldn't bear it anymore. I ate 'em. I ate your damn Tailybones. I ate 'em. They're gone. The voice waited and then said,
yeah, I know.
No one was around to hear the shotgun go off or to hear the old man screaming and screaming. A few weeks after, though, some of the folks from town, as a matter of duty, went up the ridge to see if the old man was all right. He hadn't been to the store in more than a month, after all. Well, they found the shack in shambles. No old man, no dogs, just a few dark, smudgy stains here and there, and some overturned furniture and a broken window, and a shotgun on the floor with an empty chamber. As they went back down the mountain, they heard what might have been a wailing, reedy, kind of ghostly voice on the icy wind coming down from the north.
Tailybones, Tailybones, I done got my Tailybones.
I hope you all enjoyed that. It's kind of a hodgepodge retelling, taking what I felt was best from each version I've heard or read, especially since I'm retelling this story rather than reading it. I would like to give you guys some background as a follow-up. I always find ghost and monster stories from the American Southeast to be especially frightening, like the little kid hiding under the covers kind of frightening that's tinged with playfulness and childish glee. Something about the way they're usually told, in kind of a plain-spoken way that makes use of repetition and a sing-song, almost comical way of speaking. Usually, the names of the monsters encountered in this folklore also have kind of funny-sounding names. Tailybones is sometimes called the Tailypo, and then there are Boogers, Haints, and Boogums. Has some shades of where a lot of the European settlers came from who settled in that region and told these stories. England has Will-o'-the-Wisps and Hinky Punks, which sound funny too, but they're extremely dangerous. And there's lots of other folklore from around the world that gives scary things silly or kind of childish-sounding names. It seems to me like it's a generally human thing, at least for humans living where danger and death is part of daily life, to make humor a part of scary stories. It was the way my dad told me stories as a kid. He told them from his upbringing in the South and from his time in France and Hawaii, and from here in the Pacific Northwest, where he and my mom finally settled down. Mom's stories were usually about funny or exciting things my New York uncles and aunts did as kids. They're an entertaining bunch up there, growing up in their own set of urban dangers and adventures. My dad's stories, however, were the ones most richly peppered with ghosts and monsters. He never really believed in ghosts himself, but he'd had a few experiences that he couldn't quite explain. especially when telling a good ghost story. That plain-spoken, good-humored southern twang would come back into his voice. So it just seems very natural to me to associate this kind of spoken lore with ghoulies and ghosties, and it leaves a very special place for stories from this part of the country in my heart. There's a great series of books that's, it's sadly out of print now, I believe. It's called Foxfire. My dad had most of that series, not surprisingly. It's a collection of stories, local history, and life skills from the early European settlers of the Appalachians. It was all compiled in the 1970s by anthropologists and historians. You can learn how to cook and clean and build the way these old homesteaders did, and the way a very few of them actually still do. There's still lots of folklore, scary and otherwise. Every time I'm in a particularly eclectic used bookstore, I usually look for these. Thanks for listening. This was a retelling of the American folktale Tailybones for the Ancient Voices podcast at Seven Stones Publishing, with background music by Kevin MacLeod at InContact.com, licensed under Creative Commons.